Blog Talk Radio.
I don't want a form of godliness. I want God. All I ever wanted was God. And I don't want to give him second best. I want God. All I ever wanted was God. Yeah, yeah.
I don't want a form of God.
I want God.
I want God.
All I ever,
all I ever wanted was God.
All I ever wanted was God.
I don't
want to
give him second best.
Don't want to give him my second best. I want God. See, I want to live like him. Treat everybody right. And I want to look like him. Precious in his sight. Help me to love.
Forgive.
Wanted. I want to live like him, treat everybody right. I want to look like him, precious in his eyes. Help me to love all my enemies and be what you call me to be.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
We're all in want of something. We are all in want of something, not our need. But it's some things that we just desire. We all want something. What is it, though? What is it? We may not think about it daily, even though in our heart it's still just turning around and just building up. We don't stop and think about it. What do I really want? What am I yearning for today? Who do I want to see? Who do I want to speak to? What do I really want? Well, as a Christian, and I do self-examinations of myself, we should be doing those daily and sometimes many times a day as we tighten up our armor or even start to apply our armor at the beginning of your day. And as you tighten it up throughout the day, because we know that the situations and the trials and the tribulations will kind of tilt your crown. And if you don't straighten it back up, sometimes we think we still have our helmet of salvation attached to us, and it's somewhere back behind us. We lost it down the street. We lost it in that last disagreement. We lost it in the last time that we were being unforgiving to someone else. We have maybe some of our belt of truth has started to loosen up and is sagging a little bit now. And it doesn't look the way that it looked when you first presented yourself, when you stepped out of your home or into your office or into your church or around your friendship circle. Hallelujah. So your boots of peace may have a little holes in them now, and maybe you need to change them out or pull them back up or strap it back up or make sure you look at your neighbor and you've been able to pray them back up, hallelujah, instead of condemn them down. And you know that all of the ones that's around the world, around creation, that is taking the word of God that has been put inside of them, that are going to and fro, hallelujah, they're going up and down this universe trying to spread the good news. They're trying to season the world with the word, hallelujah, where the world is trying to season us with the world, hallelujah, to draw us and distract us. But there are some of us that is on our post that refuse to come down off of the wall, and we should be praying for our sisters and brothers on a daily basis, hallelujah, as they're again going out seasoning the world with God's word. Hallelujah. It makes everything better when you get a little word in it. When you put a little word on it, even that stress seems to kind of relieve itself. When you put a little word on it, you season the world with the word, you'll see a difference in your community wherever you go. And so we're talking about tonight, just us. We're just talking about us. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. Hallelujah. This is not a you thing. But this is not an I thing. This is all of us together. We're talking about truth, the true feelings that we carry, the true love that we want to share with others. And sometimes we can't because some of the things we haven't dealt with, we haven't asked ourselves honestly, what is it do I want? And if I don't know what I want, I don't even know how to start this journey. I don't even know how to start this conversation. If I can't already determine, predetermine, what is it that I'm looking to get out of life? What is it that I'm looking to gain in today that God has given to me? Am I looking for a pure life? What is it that I'm looking for today? What do I want to see? Who do I want to see? What is it that I want to do better today than I did yesterday? It should all be about betterment, but we know that we're not all there, right? We know that there's still many of us that just get up every day just like it was yesterday. It's just another day. You said, if I hadn't been here, it wouldn't have been a big deal to me, you know, because we are not understanding the truth of God. And sometimes we don't understand the beauty of what God is doing in our lives and the opportunities for us to be alive and worship God. Just one more day. We don't understand how precious that is. Hallelujah. And so the preciousness slipped by us, and we just get up and we just go on our way, and we go to that same job trying to do the things that we did on yesterday, and we get into this robotic kind of situations. And then we have to wonder why that maybe they're not looking at us for growth opportunities. We have to wonder why. Why is it that everybody's getting a raise but me? Maybe we're doing the same thing over and over again. And God is trying to instill newness in us every day. He wants to show us a little bit more of him every day. And so as we walk on our journey and we meet and we teach, we've got to be into a relationship. We've got to be into a bond, into a connection. Hallelujah. And we got to understand that God's love is good. His love is kindness. And we have to give thanks to the Lord for those things because he is good. For his mercy does endure forever. His mercy. Said, mercy, I tap out. God, I can't handle it. This is too much for me. I tap out. Have mercy on me. He says, my mercies I give to you each and every day. Thank you for asking. Thank you for trusting me to show you mercy. He said, and it doesn't run out. You grow from my mercies as you see my mercy up on you. It should make you grow. Hallelujah. To do better, to understand more. Yes, yes, yes. And so he says, so I give it to you every day. Bring me mercies every day, every day, every day. I show you my grace. It's not like something you deserve. Yes, the things you did was wrong. The mistakes you made was real. But here you are. Here you are in your heart, in your spirit, and you come to me anyway. You run to me saying, how great is our God? He said, how can I not show you grace? How can I not wrap you up in my grace? I love you. I'm not looking at, oh, yeah, you didn't deserve it. I'm looking at you. You're created in my image. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, if the earthly mothers and fathers who are full of evil thoughts, who are born into sin, if you can be good to your offsprings, if you can give to your children what you think is the best for them in their those situations, happy, sad, up, down, we want to give them the best. Sometimes we give our kids the best, knowing that this is not what they really need, but they really want it, so we'll just give it to them. God said, but if you can love yours enough, that you really had no control of when they was going to be born, when they was going to be conceived. And you definitely had no control of favor that I put up inside of them and the talents that I've given each, every one of them, and the plans that has already been written and laid out for them. If you can do that for them, why do you think that I can't overly love mine? I created you. I know you inside and out. I know you better than you know you. I know what you're thinking when you're trying to hide it from the one you say you love. I know the thoughts that you have. I'm just trying to get them to line up with the thoughts that I have for you, with the plans that I have for you. I know when you're self-destructing. That's why I pour my love of hope off in you, of joy, of peace, of kindness, of understanding. He said, I don't understand why this is happening. But he will still give you an understanding that is above what man and woman normally would see as, oh, okay, I get it, it clicks, I understand. He said, no, even though that may never click, you may never understand the whys of that, but you understand me. You understand my purpose for you. You understand my love for you. You understand and trust in me so you can rest in me. So you don't have to be weary because you don't understand. But you can be at rest. You can be at peace. You can accept my joy. Why? Because we have been taught by the word of God that when we enter into his presence, into his gates, we just come in with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving about all the things that I don't understand that happened to me, but I know you've got me. I know that it is not outside of your plan. Hallelujah. The plan is not going to be changed by this circumstance. You already have taken care of it. I don't have to sit here and worry about it and how to figure it out. I just come to you. I've got my trust in you. So I enter into your gates thanking you. I enter into your courts with praise for another day, another opportunity of life, another opportunity to just get it right for all the things that I haven't done. Just get it right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I come into your gates with thanking you, into your courts. I'm praising you. And I bless your name. I bless your name because your name above all names. There is no lack in your name. Oh, it's only favor in your name. In your name. There's only uplifting in your name. Hallelujah. So as we look at our flesh tonight, we're doing our self-examination because we want to examine and make sure we are where we think we are. That we're doing exactly what we proclaim that we're doing, that we're trusting in God. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's okay. It's okay. I tell you, I don't know of what lies you've been told to make you think that it's some complicated thing, to make you think that it's only certain people, hallelujah, that can receive his love, hallelujah. But I want you to know there is no thing, no such thing. Somebody has said that, oh, you have to be in church in order to receive the gift of salvation. No, not true. Not true. All you have to do is really just accept who you are. You know, even when we try to do right, sometimes we end up doing wrong. That's just because we were born into a world of sin. We were born into sinfulness. We were born into sinfulness. You take a little child, they don't even know a lot about the world, but they can figure out how to lie. Did you take that? No. Do you have something in your mouth? No. They figured it out. We're born into a world of sin. So we have to accept that we're sinners. We have to accept that. And we have to just believe. I can't figure this out on my own. I can't work this out on my own. I can't do this on my own. I can't make it by myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The great theologian Barbara Harwell used to sing a song saying, Lord, I can't make this journey by myself. And I used to love, she would stop and say, Lord, I can't make this journey by myself. So she said, I don't care through the rain and through it all, Lord, I need you to carry me if I fall. Lord, I can't make this journey by myself. So when we admit that we are sinners. Hallelujah. I'm born into sin. I try to do right, as David said, and I still end up doing wrong. The temptations of the flesh keep pulling me back to do the things, to be with the ones that I know I shouldn't be doing, to say the things that I shouldn't be saying. Romans 1 tells us all of us has a sense already built off in us that of right and wrong. Right and wrong. Right and wrong. Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 are great passages to read, to just look at society and how God is already placed inside of us the ability to determine the right and the wrong. Whether we decide to do wrong, either way, it's something inside of you that keeps touching you and nudging you, and it keeps bothering you. It's not like a place that's got an itch, but you just can't get to it to scratch it. It's there because he has instilled it inside of us. Ours. The choice is ours. First, just believing. Hallelujah. That accepting the fact that we are sinners. We are none. Look all around you. There's none that you're going to see that's not born into sin. Hallelujah. Some may now have accepted that and has allowed God to help us, and so we sin less. But we're all born into sin. So as we accept that, and then we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son, the living God, that God loves us, the Creator loves you so much. When he knitted you together in every particle of you, as he put it together, it was with love and in his heart. He said, I'm a nobody. I don't have anything. I don't have titles. He said, I love you. I created you. And I didn't leave you out. There is enough stuff on the inside of you that if you tap into it, it'll get you where you're trying to go. Hallelujah. But you just need me to go and direct you. So can you believe that God loved you enough, that he gave his only begotten son, that his son stepped out of godliness into humanity to cover your sin, to pay the price of your sin, to give you a chance to have your book in the Lamb's book of life, that you could live eternity with your Heavenly Father, with your Creator. Well, he did that just for you. He did that just for me. And that Son is Jesus Christ. So I accept that I'm a sinner. I believe that God gave his only begotten Son for me, Jesus Christ. I believe that every stripe of blood that he shed was to cover my sin. It covers my sin. I don't have to be weighed down by these sinful things. I can now direct my flesh to die daily. Hallelujah. And bow down to the word of God. Hallelujah. So I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in thine heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. He came to do what he did. He was resurrected, and now he is beside the Father. If you can do that, then you shall be saved. Just ask the Lord. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart as my Lord and Savior and take complete control of my life. Huh. Help me to walk in your footsteps daily. By the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. If you can pray that prayer, you are a new creation in Christ. He's creating newness inside of you. He's creating newness inside of you. Hallelujah. Because you have acknowledged in your heart that Jesus is Lord. You've confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You believe that Jesus took your sins and was raised 3 days later, resurrected, and he's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. He wants to help you. He's not wanting you to do this by yourself. He said, I'm with you. I never leave you. I'm not going to forsake you and say, oh, my goodness, is Yvonne again? No. Oh, my goodness, she keeps making the same mistake over again. He will lift you up and put you in positions to teach you the lessons you need to learn to not make the same mistakes over and over again. So you recognize after a minute, that's a skinny me. No, I'm not going in that. I'm not going back in that pit hole. I've been down off in there for a long, long time. I'm just not getting back to surface. No, I can't walk over there by that crowd. It's not that I don't enjoy them as a person, but it's something inside of me that gets addicted to what is the negativity in their lives. And I start to wear that negativity like it's a raincoat. And instead of it protecting me, it's actually eating me up from the inside out. So I can't do that anymore. I'm sorry, I can now look at the warning signs. I see things a little bit more clear. I can walk a little bit more clear. Hallelujah. Because I see things differently. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Say thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. All of the heavenly hosts are just excited. Hallelujah. Of the choice that you have made. It is the best thing that you can ever decide to do in your life on this side, on this journey. Hallelujah. So now you have to get into a Bible teaching church. Every church is not teaching the word of God, okay? Every four walls just goes here in the world, and it may have the word church on it. Sometimes now they're not even going that far. They're not even putting the word church up there. It just looks like a church. You may see a cross. It may be tilted. Some of the crosses are upside down. Those are indicators. Mm-hmm. Look at the contents, the contents, the contents. Look at the narrative of what they're teaching, what they're living, and you should be able to see. Take it to God. Go in prayer. Talk to God about it and let him reveal himself to you. So you pick up the word of God. If you need any biblical literature, it's easy to find. You can even start right here with my ministry. This is the word of God through the voice of Vaughn Ministry. The word of God, that's the important thing. That's your seasoning. That's your salt. That's your good news, the word of God. I'm just an humble servant that he's using. So it's through the voice of Vaughn. I am Minister Vaughn Dumas out of sunny San Antonio, Texas. Hallelujah. But it's the word of God that's the important thing. So you take it to the word of God. You take it to God. He is the word, and the word is him. The word is with him. So you want that word to cover you. That's the good news, when that word can get off inside of you. That's what starts to make a difference in your life. When you get that word, you start getting the understanding of his word. Hallelujah. And then you join along and you're able to see some things. Now there are, as we're speaking about tonight, there are definitely different times that we still do not want to hear certain things. We as a people, it bothers us when people try to tell us what to do. Mothers and fathers, if you have kids, you'd be the first one to say that, yeah, even not when they're grown. They even get just a little bit of age on them. And they'll start to tell you, I want to do it by myself. I don't want you to tell me to do it. I don't want you to help me do this. I want to do this by myself. And that's where we are. Sometimes even as we grow older from those little bitty adolescent statements, we start to carry that with us even as we grow older. And we start to say things like that. I don't want no help. Don't tell me what to do. Sending wives or stood before an altar somewhere, stood before somebody and proclaimed their love. And proclaim that we are now one spirit. We're coming in one voice. We're understanding and we're wanting to get to know each other, that we can speak in one voice. That takes some time. I understand that. But it's husbands and wives that are still talking about. That's my business. They're saying this to each other. That's my business. I'm not telling you my business. I do it if I want to do. Don't you tell me what to do. Don't make any suggestions to me. How can you tell me that this is wrong? This is for me. You don't know what I need. So we're still speaking individually, but we're trying to live together as one. It doesn't work. You get, if there's misery, there's jealousy, there's strife. That's what happens in marriages. We grow so far apart because we are determined. We're determined to be our own selves. We're afraid that we're going to lose who we are. But when you were sharing your part that makes you become as one, it doesn't mean that your individuality has been lost. No. That's her love you. Those little things about you that only you can do, only you say, only you act those ways, and those are positive things, not the negative things. Hallelujah. Only you see her in this light. Only you can make her smile because of something goofy that you may do. You still got you. You're not losing you. No one is asking you to throw away you. You said, that's the best part of me. But as we look back, though, you can also see as you become one, if you're going to decide to become a part of a marriage, you got to understand that some of the things that you do is going to be brought before you. It's going to be brought before you. So you may say, well, I've been a liar all my life. Well, he may check you on those lies, and rightfully so. And prayerfully, he checks you on those lies before you get to the altar. It is a problem with so many people. They're so infatuated with just the feeling, that emotion that they're feeling at the moment, and they run somewhere to and say, I do, I do, I do what? Well, do you really know what you're saying when you're saying, I do? I do give this person permission to check me when I'm wrong? Is that what you really are meaning? I give this person permission to share their thoughts with me? To share their things, even when it's not something that I agree to? I'm giving this person permission now to just voice their opinion. It may not change what I'm doing or how I'm doing it, but that I will at least listen to what it is that they have to say, to their opinion. That I will look at the possibility that, okay, maybe I am a little harsh and unforgiving in these areas. Hallelujah. Our society as whole have a big problem accepting words like, thou shall not. Thou shall not. Or being told to honor someone. You know, it is in a lot of marriage vows now, writing your own personal vows is nothing new. Been going on for, I'm sure, as long as marriages have been there. But now some people are purposely taking their marriage vows, and they are removing certain things. I'm not going to obey anybody. I'm not going to submit to anyone. No, no. I will honor you as long as you honor me. I will love you as long as you are loving to me. Yeah, we know that, right? As long as you do unto me, that's what I will give back to you. So I reciprocate this, and that's what you get in return. I mean, it may be misunderstood. I may have received that wrong, but it doesn't matter. That's the way I received it. So I'm getting ready to throw something back at you, right? Only because we do not like to be chastised. We do not like to be reprimanded. it reminds us a lot of our youth and as we were growing up. And I like to say that in a way I've lived a many lives because, you know, as you think back as far as you can go, as far as you can go, and you start to look at those times, and yes, parents had to teach you different things. So yes, there was some reprimanding and there were some different things that you didn't agree with, but you had to still follow through with. So there were different things and times in life that may not have got, were not brought you smiles every day, let's just say. But that is just a part of growing up. So we take that and we learn from that and we grow from that. And if we didn't have those teachings, we wouldn't have learned how to crawl, perhaps, or even walk. Or we would have never had a desire to get out and go to school or to learn or to mingle and meet friends. But once we did all of those things, we thought, this is the best thing since spaghetti, right? I can now crawl around. Yes. I can now crawl around. I have a little 12-month-old. She'll be, in just a few days, she's going to be a year. And she's my granddaughter, and she comes over and, you know, now she's so much different from 4 weeks when the first time she walked in my home. Well, she came into my home at 4 weeks, and now she's 12 months. Oh, my goodness, I saw the change. I saw her learn to, you know, as she now can sit up, as she has teeth, you know, as she now babbles, you know. We just saw all the different little things. As she now understands, no, no. She didn't understand that at 4 weeks. She understands no, no. She understands eating. She can get down. She can be held as she starts to wiggle and move because she wants down. She wants to get down and explore and do it on our own. Sometimes when we look at our lives, we're not too much different from this 12-month-old. God is trying to hold us. He's still trying to wrap us up in his love. He's trying to speak direction into our lives. He's trying to give us some good news, that directions, the way before we take out. And we just hear one thing from the Lord, and we start squirming. We start moving around, and we want down. We want down. We want down. We want to get going. God said, and we don't even know what all he said. But that emotion felt so good to hear him speaking, or to hear it being instilled inside of your spirit. Because God is spirit, and you, something about your spirit just received it, and you just take off. You just take off. You just take off. We just take off. We just take off. We just take off. Amen? And so we look at ourselves and the different journeys on this life, the different parts as we separate it on this life. And we start to just see that even as my baby, Dior, as Dior starts to do the little things and she pulls up on the sofa, and now she enjoys kicking her little legs as she's preparing to walk. And it's so many things. But if Dior was still, if Dior gets 20 years old, and she looked back and she's still thinking about, oh, I don't want Granny telling me anything to do. I can do it all on my own. If she never understands how she got to where she's at, is by learning, is by God putting somebody in her life to help prepare her to go to the next step. If husbands and wives are truly ready to become husband and wife and join themselves together, that means that together they're going to work this thing out together. Together, you work hard, I work hard, we have a plan, we put it together, we save together, and we grow together. We bless the Lord at all times together. We're always together. We shall continuously put his praise in our mouth, not something that we did, but we give him all the thanksgivings. as we enter into his gate, remember? Then together you see yourself grow. Together you see that, oh, we're now able to buy this home. Oh, I remember when our refrigerator, our cupboards only had this. But we was working hard and we still had to maintain our necessities. And we were happy because we had each other. We were happy because we knew we had a goal, something we was working towards. And then as you go down the journey, you start to grow. And maybe we help one go to school while the other one goes part-time work. And the other maybe has to do full-time and some overtime to keep everything going until you finish school. And then we reverse the roles. And now you do full-time and overtime, and I work part-time and go to school. Whatever it is, together we become as one. Together we join. Together you're able to tell me, even when I don't feel like getting up and going, to remind me of the goals, of the plans that put a little fire up under me to keep me going. We have to be able to have somebody in our lives, our pastors, our leaders. How many times does pastors get the wrong rap? They get about and all people leave the church and all kind of things because they're telling you the good news. They're seasoning you with the good news, but to you, because in your mindset, you already have your plans worked out. And it did not have nothing to do with the word of God. So in your mindset, they're trying to tell you what to do. You're not my mom. You are neither are you my dad. So you don't have the right to tell me what to do. So as you look around our society today, that's what's going on. That's what's going on. Any day, pick any day that you would like and just go up and read the news or check out the news. And you see all kind of different stuff in the world that boils down to the same thing. Even when we come to the boat dock incident that is so popular right now. I think it was on the pier was named the Harriet Tubman Pier or boat dock, a riverboat dock. Even when we look at that incident, it all stemmed out of what? Someone telling someone else what to do. So we had the security guard in authority trying to tell, direct somebody else of the ways of the land, the rules of the riverboat. Here's how we're going to do. You can't park here. You must park there. This must happen here. And the same thing. Thou shalt not park here. Thou shalt not do this. What is it in your life today that someone maybe has told you this is not the right thing for you to do? You can't do this. You can't. You shouldn't do that. Hallelujah. And it kind of got underneath your skin. Hallelujah. It kind of bothered you a little bit. It kind of made you feel a little different. Who are they? That's not my supervisor. That's not my manager. How are you going to tell me that? I can remember one instance. There was something going on, and I had walked up to correct someone at work, and it was after I had observed it for a minute, and I just kind of let them know that I was observing and was giving them the opportunity to correct the situation themselves. And after I saw that it was not going to happen, and I did not see their manager around, nor did I see their supervisor around, I, being of a manager, went and spoke to the person. And she snapped a little bit. But still, I let her know what was, you know, I was asking of her, which was nothing that was not something she had agreed to. She had agreed to those things. And that the behavior needed to be corrected immediately. And so the conversation kind of ended, and she went her way, and we went on. And it was maybe an hour. She comes running towards me with a big smile. And she says, Miss Vaughn, she said, I am so sorry. I didn't know who you were. I didn't know that you were a manager. I just thought you were just somebody else on my level. I didn't know who you were. So that's why I didn't do what you were asking me to do readily. That's why I kind of balked back again, because we do not like to be told, thou shall not. Thou shall not. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what it is. Our society as a whole, even sometimes you'll find parents in the household, they'll start teaching the kids. You don't have to listen to them. You don't have to do what they say. Those are things we need to make sure we correct right now. We need to start correcting those things. We need to start correcting those things. Thou shall not. Or we don't like being told. God bless you. Or like we said, to honor someone. You know, I run into so many people that say the same things that, you know, why should I honor my mother and father? I never even met them. I was adopted. They walked out and never came back. And I'm to honor them? Well, you know, now hear me from the spirit. Hear me from the spirit. Because I can sympathize and show empathy also of what it must be like to yearn to know them and not know them. I have you there. I got that. But in another way, look also, you don't even know the goods or bads. You don't even know any of those things. So you know what? You have lived with some people a whole lifetime. And you know you saw the goodness. You saw the worst parts of them, right? But we still find a way to go on about our way and love them, right? So in some situations, it could be a little slightly, I would say, want to tiptoe on this, slightly maybe it could be a little easier because you never even met this man or woman. You don't know what their story is. You don't know what heartache is they have right now. You don't know the burdens that they may bear. So the most you can do is say, I can honor them by not slandering their name. That's a way of honoring. I can honor them by saying a prayer for them every day. God bless them. I pray that they're doing fine. I pray that whatever they're looking for, that they were able to find you, because I know you will direct them to the things that they need, and not just the things that they need, that once their hearts line up with yours, you're even direct them with the desires of their hearts. So that's another way of honoring them, is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you honor the part that some people say, you know, how can I honor my parents, Minister Vaughn? Maybe they didn't raise me. They didn't even raise me the way that I thought I should have been raised, the way I thought I deserved to be raised. You know, they gave me up and I ended up in a foster home and another foster home. I end up in a children's home. I end up on the streets. I end up being abused and molested. I went through so much. So how can I honor them? They were in the household, but they were alcoholics, so they were drunk. They allowed these things to happen to me. Yeah. So we're not so much, again, when we're looking at the honor part of it, we're not so much saying honoring the negativity. Are you honoring the disgusting things that may have happened in your life? And by no way are we dismissing those things, or no way are we saying that, oh, that didn't really happen. No, no, no. No, your hurt is real. And I acknowledge your hurt, just like you acknowledge your hurt. But maybe you honoring them by taking the things that you did learn that was positive out of that household and running with that and taking that to God and say, how can I take this positive and let it spread joy all over the world? All over the world. This little joy, I didn't find much. But I remember one time they would do this and this would make me so happy. Maybe start there. Honor that joy for a moment. Amen? People said, well, Minister Vaughn, you know, my dad was okay until he would start drinking. And he was a mean drunk. And he would beat on us. Or he would want to touch us. or my mom was an okay mom until this person came into her life or this circumstance happened. So we take whatever it is. If he tells us to honor, we know it's something there that we need to keep looking into. We can find that honor. We honor that. We honor those things. Hallelujah. Those are the things that we honor. He said, it wasn't the way that I deserved. I deserved more. And it's going to come. Because I'm sure you were only under their thumb in their household for so many years. We don't know how many years God is giving you. Let's just say that you were in their household for 18 years. But your lifespan that God has already wrote in your plans is to live until you're 68 years old. You see what we're saying? Where we're going with that? You got 50 years to do something great. You got 50 years to do something wonderful. Or you can take 50 years and stay right in the same position you was at when you was in their household. Negative, just like you would disliked about them. Now look at you. You're negative to your kids. You're drinking just like they did. You're cursing at them because you were cursed at. Hallelujah. I grew up in a time where we got spankings when we was wrong. So when I raised my kids, when I thought that they did something, they stole something, they got a spanking. When they did something that I felt that could hinder them or change the way that they go in their life, they got a spanking. But that was, again, that was the way I was brought up. In this day and time, Dior probably won't get spanking. There's so many other ways that we can work around it. Or she may. Or she may. Because because I say that does not mean that we don't discipline. The discipline should never stop. And whether it is through how you do it is different ways, but it still works. So it still works. So again, when we talk about our society and the big problem of accepting words like thou shall not, and we look at the Ten Commandments of thou shall not, so a lot of people can't tell you what they are and definitely don't try living by them because the thou shall not, or the honor someone. Honor your mother and your father. Honor your mother and your father. And that really is like, yeah, that's okay. I'll pass. I'll pass on that. I'll go to something else. How about watching your neighbors? That's another one too. The Bible tells us that about, you know, coveting our neighbors or how about our forgiveness or lying. Those are commandments. How about watching your neighbors, the ones, you know, who you consider worthless? Let's just be real. Who you are saying, I wish they would leave the neighborhood. How did they even get up in this neighborhood? Where did they come from? They see there's no other people their skin color in this neighborhood. Why would they want to come here? Their kids do this and my kids do this. Why would they're Presbyterian? We're Methodists. Why are they here? Why are they here? So, you know, the ones that those neighbors that you wish was not there. Yeah. How do you feel when you have to watch those same neighbors be blessed? They're blessed with things that you've been desiring, and you watch them be blessed with it. You watch them come in drunk. You watch them do whatever they want to do. You know the ones that just seems like they just do whatever, but now they just pulled up in that brand new car that you have been keeping your eyes on. You've been waiting on the price to go down. You've been trying to budget everything in the house until you can pay down some other things to put that in the financial program, and now here they are in it. You said, I don't even know when they worked, when you need to be nice to them. How do you feel when you see that they have a flat tire on that brand new car and you know that you're able to assist? Do you assist with the greatness in your heart, with goodness in our hearts? Or do we say, oh, my goodness, now look, let me go over here and see what I can do to help. and you do it, but you're grunting and you're moaning and you're avoiding conversation, even though they're trying to conversate. You're avoiding that conversation. You're just trying to get this, help them with this tire and get on. Or do you, we just not go and render our services at all? Do we just say, I'm just, yeah, I don't think so. And we get in whatever we're driving and we move on. See, those are some of the things that when the commandments was given to us, given to Moses to present to us, that God was wanting us to get that out of our hearts. We're talking about shaking the good seasoning over the world. That good seasoning is the word. So shaking the word over the world, into the world, to find the good seasoning. He wants us to individually do that to ourselves daily, in our heart. See what's been shaken. What are you shaking inside of you? What are you moving inside of you? What are you allowing to grow inside of you? What have you accepted from the world today? Whether through our music, through our social media, through conversation with someone, whatever it may be, whatever went in your ear gate, if you didn't get it out, it's still in there. So what is it going to do? Is it growing? Or when you get in a situation that is similar to what you've heard today, how do you think you're going to react? From the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. So whatever you've poured off in there, whatever you've allowed to grow and set there, oops, there it is. And sometimes it will embarrass you. You get in situations and front of people, and you don't even realize that it's deep down off in there. But the same way you saw Sister Girl act on one of the 250 million housewives now, the same destructive stuff that you laughed at and said, oh, she's crazy. Oh, you know, she's this, she's that. Now that same is you. Now you find yourself in a similar situation, and there you go. You remember every word she said, and you repeat it. You remember the snap of the finger, the way that they wave their hands, and you do it too. It becomes something that you enjoy doing now. You start walking in the same direction that they was walking in, but you were sitting back here talking about them a few minutes ago, right? So that's why we do our self-examination, because God knew that it's so easy for that stuff to set off in there and grow. Hallelujah. And grow and grow and grow until it becomes so big that you can't sustain it. You can't keep it in. It starts to flow in out of you. Even when you're dressed up and looking your best, here comes this gunk up out of you. We've run into these peoples, right? Hallelujah. You see them and say, oh, beautiful outfit. She is so pretty. Wow, he's got it together. Okay, all right, I see you. When their mouth and their demeanor flips it all upside down, and you end up looking and saying, wow, let me get as far away from this individual as I can. What happened? What went wrong? And I know we all see the generation now, you know, as time has always changed. The generation before me was complaining about our generation, the difference. And so it's always difference. Yeah, the young girls these days, right, they show everything. So they leave nothing to the imagination. So you already got your opinion formed about them before they can even open their mouth because, you know, the nakedness, right? And so you just, it's almost funny, just like how, who, what is it? It's just like walking through a lion's den and you just stop before you go in and say, let me just dip all this blood over me. Let me just make sure they can smell me, make sure they see me, you know? And so the lions of the world just immediately attack. And then we're like, why? Why can't I get a woman? Why? Why can't I get the job? Why can't I get respect? Why do I get treated with no dignity? So we have to do self-examinations to look at us and see, Where did I go wrong today? What did I do right today? What do I want to do better tomorrow? Hallelujah. And you start to look at yourself and say, hey, God, I accomplished that today. I did better by this today. And God will always bring it to your attention. It's not like that you don't know. We spoke about Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, his great books to just read, just to see that God has already placed some things off inside of you that you know the difference between right and wrong, whether you choose not to do either way, you know the difference, right? Oh, I did not sit there and I didn't covet that spouse. How did he get that spouse? You know, he doesn't even work. She works hard and he does nothing. And I would be a perfect spouse for them. Or even that job. Or we even compare our children now. Wow, they do those kids so wrong. If I had those kids, they could take mine. Mine are the, you know. I hear so much things about your own household. And I'm like, but you're the head of your household. What are you doing? Doesn't that reflect back on you? At least some of it. I know not all, but perhaps some of it. Huh. So we look at the things that we think that we deserve instead of the things that we have received, the ones that seem to live any type of way, like I said, according to us. We go to church and we may or may not pay our tithes. We may or may not help others, but we could do go to church. We may or may not, you know, offer to feed the hungry. Okay, maybe. I don't know. I was tired that day. Didn't feel like doing it. I know God told me to, but I didn't. I procrastinated. I'm going to do it. I haven't forgot about it. You know, all of those things that we make up. So showing no concern for no one or nothing else is separating us from God, separating us from doing the works that he has set for us to do. Because he's not going to change his words or his plans because we don't feel like doing what he said, bottom line, right? So yet still, God stands by his word. He is the word, James tells us. He is the word. He still stands by his word. His word is still true. His word is still true. I know. I've heard even from some people that is in the celebrity eyes, and I've heard that they said, no, no, no. He's not the word is not good for us anymore. You know, this is totally different. This is totally different. The word is different. He has changed. He don't want us to live by those old things. The word is different now. So that means God is different because God is the word. So God is different. He's a changing God. And it just lets me know maybe you are serving a God that's changed, because how do you serve somebody who's still buried underground or who's still cremated or who's still dead? No resurrection. No power. How do you still pray to someone that you can't feel move in your life? You can't see him working around you. But I remind you, yet still God stands by his word. And he reminds us that ye shall not, and whatever he says. So let's just take a look here and just see. Four is our commandment. And really and truly, we're going to speak about, you can take two of these commandments and lay them on the 10, right? Because if you can do these, then you're going to automatically follow all of the rest of them, the other eight. First commandment, the first commandment, you shall have no other God before me. You shall have no other God before me. The idols, you know, I look at Leah and Rachel, you know, was supposed to be beautiful and all of this, but her and her sister, the whole tribe, they had so many idols. Even when they got ready to go and leave with Jacob, and they got away to leave, their father's place and go. Rachel just needed all of her gods, because one God is never enough. And now you got to serve another God. And before you know it, you got a whole collection, just like Rachel, of gods that you just can't go without. I can't do without. You're in a marriage, but you over here still serving these other gods. So nothing your spouse is going to say to you that's going to make true sense. It's going to always cause confusion, because it may not and probably will not match up with the voices of your God. But Psalms 145 tells us that all your work shall praise God, and your saints shall bless you. You shall have no other God other than our God. And we get all broke up sometimes because maybe our Maybachs or our Lincolns or our Alexis's or our titles and our jobs, or the person we married to has a title, or maybe we've traveled everywhere. And so those experiences we think make us on an elite level, or we start to speak differently, or we hang out with different people just because of these things. Don't let your status become your God. Don't let your status become your God. Because you look around you, most of the high leaguers that the people who act just like you, that you're hanging with because of their social status, you don't even like. You don't like their attitudes. They don't like your attitudes. But it's an unspoken agreement that we still know we have to hang with each other, because we don't want to go hang with the other people. They're not up here where we're at. They don't drive the BMWs. We can't hang with them. So we don't like each other, but we have to still associate with each other. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not have any other God, any other God, any other God other before me. I remember a neighbor told me one time that as my granddaughter was a little small thing, and, you know, I love kids, and I dressed up and I protected her. I watched over her. She asked me, we was all outside one day, and she said, my granddaughter was kind of playing with them. I said, what are you doing over there? You know, after a minute, hey, come on back over here. And so I said, okay, it's time to come into the house. But she still wanted to stay over there and play with the two grown ladies that were sitting there. And they said, we're watching. You could go on in. You know, we're watching. I said, no, that's okay. Thank you. I went over there and picked her up and brought her back in the house. And so as we was talking later on, sometime later, that same one of the two of the ladies told me, said, you know, you should put no other God before God. Ye shall have no other God before him. And so I received that, and I said, yeah. I said, in what way, what God do you think I'm trying to serve? And she said, your granddaughter. And I said, so you think I'm serving my granddaughter as a God? She said, yeah, pretty much so. Pretty much so. And I said, do you see that because of the love I have for her? My granddaughter is taught to pray. My granddaughter is in church and not just sitting there. I make sure she prays. She's on her knees just like I am. She's praying to the same God that I'm praying to. But I don't think that I will take that into consideration, because you're seeing out of eyes that I don't have. I will definitely take that into consideration, because, yes, I don't want to have any other God other than my God. As a matter of fact, if God will move things out of the way, if you love something so much, you want to make sure that you do that check, that self-inventory, because God will move things out of the way if he thinks that if it's interfering with him. He's not going to give you anything or anyone that's going to separate you from him. He loves you that much. I don't want to direct all of my love into her and she becomes my God. So I checked myself, and I think that God gave me that we're cool with that, that we were okay. We were okay. But it was something about the way that she saw that, though. That's what she really saw, because she just was upset that I wouldn't let her stay over there and she decided, let me throw this at her. Could have been. I don't know. But I think that that's what she saw once I really got to know her. I think maybe in her eyes, that's what she saw. That's what she saw. The praise be the name of the Lord. And we, again, cannot just fly off the handle when someone tried to say something to us or look at us, and maybe they saying something different than what we thought we was presenting. But we do have to look at that, at least consider it, at least do an inventory of ourselves to check ourselves against that. The second one says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. You know, these laws was very important, first of all. I mean, the Israelites needed them to become a strong nation amidst all the people that was around them who worship all of these different idols. And, you know, it felt like they were the ones that was, you know, doing wrong because they didn't have the idols around them. But they needed to make sure they're carving out. They even carved out in 1 Samuel. They even had some of the lands had went against them because of the ark, and they were had went off this after the ark had been stolen, and they were trying to present themselves by looking off into it. Some of the lands that it went into, the people were cursed with tumors, big tumors. So they wanted to get rid of the ark. They said, get it out of here. Everybody around here has got tumors. Now, different theologians may say different things, but as many of them argue to say that those tumors are actually hemorrhoids. And they said the whole land was cursed with these huge hemorrhoids. And so as they are getting ready to give this, get rid of this, the ark from their land, they send word to get back to Samuel to say, how do we present this ark back to you? You know, what do we need to do? So they even carved out images of the tumors. They said they carved them out, gold images of the tumors to put inside of the ark to begin that there. And I say that to say that, boy, we will make graven images out of anything. Because we are so used to being in the flesh that we want to see something we can identify. Let me see this God. Let me see his presence. Let me see. But, you know, we just get so caught up like that. We get so caught up like that. And so it was needed for the Israelites to become the strong nation they were to become when they were amongst people that was worshiping the idols. So we are pledging in these commandments our allegiance to be loyal. That's what we're saying. When we accept the word of God, we are pledging to in our allegiance to be loyal, to be obedient, to respect God, that he knows what's best for us. And if we do this, we know we can get a closer walk with him. We know that we will be avoiding some of the pit holes and some of the potholes we don't have to fall into each and every time if we just will be loyal and obedient and respect the commandment. Amen. God's words. Number three says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thou God in vain. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You know, in court, it used to be a time you put your hand, your right hand on top of the Bible, and you raise your hand and you would say, I do solemnly swear in the not to lie, or, you know, things like that in God's name. Well, they took the God part out some time ago. And most now it's just, I do solemnly swear not to lie under oath or da-da-da. And that's it, and that's it, right? So some people would say, oh, no, I can't swear. I cannot swear. And that would be their way of getting themselves out because they knew what they had in their heart was not truthful. There's no, I can't swear under oath. I can't be under oath. You know, I'm a Christian. I can't do that. But the actual word is, we think of swear, we think of the filthy mouths of the world, the people of the world, right? The filthy mouths, we call that I swear now. But the swearing that we're talking about, again, when he said use his name in vain, we don't like it if people call us bad names, do we? It just doesn't fit right with us. If you call me a bad name, regardless of who I am, that doesn't feel good. I was taught as a child that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words would never hurt me. And so I had to learn as I grew up, those words do sting. They do hurt. Maybe the hurt, as deep as the hurt goes, is up to me. If I allow those words to tear me down to I can't get up, that's a mean thing. That's me. I allow that, right? I allow that. Now, if you take a stick, and you beat me down, you may beat me down, and I can't get back up. But those words that you're throwing at me, even though they hurt, they sting, they penetrate some things in me. They change my emotions from happy to, oh, really, huh? How did they say that about me? Why did they say that to me? I may have to take the ointment, the word of God and the balm and rub it in there and get myself back up. But I can't allow that to knock me down like that stick knocked me down. I shouldn't have to go to the hospital because now I can't think and function because of those words are still ringing and resonating in my spirit. And sometimes we do. But those words do hurt. So we don't like it when people call us bad names. They're disrespectful. And God's name is holy. You know, and it must be used only in a reverence way. God's name is holy. Even when Moses was out and God wanted to speak to Moses, and how do you light a fire? You have to have some kind of element. But God lights a fire because he's fire. He's all elements. And he lights a fire to this bush. And Moses is looking at this fire burning on a bush out of nowhere. No one else is there but him. And it's just burning, but it's not consuming the bush. The bush has not been burned, but it's burning. What's going on here, right? Say to him. He said, take off your sandals, but this is holy ground. This is holy ground. Where I am at is holy, he is saying. This is holy ground. God's name is holy. He says, put some respect on my name. Put some respect on my name, right? It is holy. So we must not use the name of the Lord in vain. Some people take God's name in vain because others are doing it, and they just say, you know what, it's no big deal. That's something that you did back then. You can say this now. You can do this now. We find ourselves saying these words that dishonor God, always talking about the, you know, I don't have this. I don't have time to do it. I think that's a big disrespect and dishonor to God. He gave us time. He don't need time. He's in eternity. He gave time for our sake. And yet we say, he still didn't give me enough. I didn't have time to do it. No, you didn't prioritize your time. You chose which way to use your time, and you didn't have time to serve the Lord. You didn't have time to feed his sheep. You chose not to have time to do this or do this for yourself. Dishonoring God. It can take root in our hearts and our minds and begin saying it. Our minds will say again what the heart was in the heart. So our minds will start to say those things, and we don't realize what we just did. But be careful. Don't allow it to take root in your heart. Don't allow it to take root in your heart. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Number four, it says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, back in the Old Testament, this meant that they should not work on the Sabbath, but they carried it too far, and they wouldn't even let people pick up something heavy on the Sabbath. And there are different people now, right? It's different groups of people now that do the same thing. You can't even pick up nothing heavy. In the Old Testament, you know, it was times that, hey, you condemned. Jesus was condemned because what? He healed on the Sabbath. So God is showing all of those things as examples, okay? So Jesus changed this. Jesus was the change to this. His coming was the change to this. He changed this and said that we should keep the Sabbath day to worship. To worship. Hallelujah. We should keep the Sabbath day to worship. So it is holy. That's the day that we are worshiping on. We need to remember creation and rest. Rest. Get our rest. We know that we got so much else coming up so that we could serve God and serve others. You're on the battlefield. You're serving God. You're serving others. Take some time and go back to the Father. Jesus always stole away, got away from the disciples even. Let me get away from even them that I've called to walk with me. Still had to steal away from them to do what? Go be in the presence of his Father. Go get filled back up. And I tell you real quick, anybody who works in any kind of ministry will know real quick, people will drain you. People will take every bit of ounce of your strength and still try to get more. Will scandalize you that you don't have more. If you are not stealing away to go to God to get replenished, to be filled back up, you're going to be walking around here just as empty as they are. And before you know it, you're stepped over and doing the things that they're doing. And now they're going to shine the light on you. Oh, they're going to shine the spotlight on you very quick. And they're not going to say this is just sister or brother that. They said, this is the leader of this church. This is the leader of this. They want to bring it all up. Never mention the fact we drained and took from them so much. Hallelujah. 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 They will take it all, even if you're not in the ministry. You go out here and just try to play nice. You go out here and try to do nice. Before you know it, you're going to start to look just like them. How can the world identify themselves from you? You dress just like them. What's the difference? No difference. You shop at the same places. You talk just like them. Oh, what's the difference? Nope. Language sounds just the same. Oh, no, but I'm a Christian. Well, how do they know? How do anyone know that? You're swimming in the same pool. Hallelujah. Honor your father and mother. We spoke about that just so, reminding honor means to love. Honor means to respect them. Not that you agree with everything. Not that you got to be just like them, little mini-me. No, you're individual. You don't have to lose your individuality. Honor just means to love them. Honor just means to respect them. When you honor your parents, you love them. You obey them because they are wiser. And it gets on so many people's nerves. I think about it right now. I think about it. Well, I wish I had somebody that would poured into my life and said this or told me that, or I had better role models that I could reach out to when I was on college campus or when I was here, when I was there. I just did not have that. But so many people are so upset if the wiser person try to pour something into them. Growing up, my mother was all wise. She always had somebody that was pouring into her. Miss Emma Tony, Sissy, Miss Lula Mae Dukes, my mom's godmother, even the people at her church, Reverend Anderson at Mount Williamson Church in Columbia, Tennessee, Reverend Anderson, and then taken over by Reverend Robert Burns, they made sure to the all of the ones that were older, the mothers poured into the young mothers. Hallelujah. You want that some person is wiser. But now the enemy has confused the minds of the people in the world today. And they said, let me figure it out on my own. So they're not getting anywhere. So they stuck around this mountain. Over again. Here they come again. Here they come again. Here they come again. Messed up credit. Here they come again. Jacked up life because they married her. Here they come again. House full of kids and no job. Here they come again. No wisdom is in their life. They refusing wisdom. They're shutting the door on wisdom. Hallelujah. Even from the Lord. God wants homes to be happy. So he made this as an important rule because the family is his masterpiece. It's his masterpiece that he's showing off. Like you go into the 16th chapel and you look up and you're like, oh, look at Michelangelo's work. You're looking, God is the masterpiece. The family is his masterpiece. Hallelujah. So he wants to make sure that you're walking in the right directives to get the best out of life. Number 6 says, thou shalt not kill. God wants to protect human life. God wants to protect human life. And again, I brought those scriptures to us tonight because I really want you to carry them with you. All life is valuable. Life is a valuable thing. All life is valuable. And he wants none of us to go out and think that we're better than others. Mm-mm. God reminded Noah and his family that men and women are created in his image. Therefore, their lives should be valued. Their lives should be valued. Hallelujah. Again, Romans 1, it teaches that general revelation is available to all humanity. We need to love all humanity. We all come guilty from time to time of doing something that is not right, but God needs to love all. He wants us to love all humanity. He loves on us, and he wants us to love others. Life is something that he is the author of, that he is the finisher of. Hallelujah. Number 7 says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, this means, you know, husband and wife should not go outside of their marriage. They should be faithful to one another. And even if you have, your spouse has forgiven you for the adultery, remember, it doesn't change the fact that you have committed adultery. So you can repent in your heart and you go and ask for forgiveness, and prayerfully your wife or your husband will give you that forgiveness, and God will forgive you, and you can forgive yourself. And remember, repentance is different from saying, I'm sorry. Repentance means I'm turning my back. I'm turning from those wicked ways. I'm turning from doing those things. I'm not going to go to these places because they tempt me to do the thing to have me in the situation I'm in. So I'm not going to keep running back to that same thing, running back to those same people. I may have to change my whole friendships with people. I have to change my whole job, my whole directions that I go home because I can't afford to pass by that liquor store. I stop. I can't afford to pass by that ex-lover's house. I blow the horn and there I come out. And before you know it, there I am. I'm inside. Those things, those types of things is what we're talking about. Those are the type of things that we're talking about. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, adultery, you said, oh, back in the day, that used to be a rule for divorce. God wants no divorce. He does not want anyone to divorce. But there are certain circumstances that he speaks about. And you disrespecting his masterpiece, breaking his masterpiece apart by having adulterous affairs is one of those things. Thou shalt not steal. No one is permitted to take something that belongs to another. And not only is that a God law, but it's the basic law of our society that we live in. If you don't believe me, try it. Number 9, it says, thou shalt not bear false witness. This means do not tell a lie. It's just so easy to lie. We spoke about earlier. The little kid can be 2, 3 years old. You haven't sat down and taught them or read them the book about how to lie. No. You may have told them don't eat the cookie. But you come back and their mouth is full. And you said, what happened to the cookie? Little Jimmy, did you eat the cookie? No. Did you break that? No. They get older. Did you take my money I had laying up here? No. Mm-mm. Did you sneak out of the house when I asked you not to? Oh, no, no, no. Mm-mm. Did you go over there when I said, no, I was over here? No, uh-uh. You thought I was over there? No, I was over here. Uh-uh. They get older. Did you move my car? No, no. See, what had happened was, and it goes, and we get so comfortable with lies. So when we get ready to enter the Holy of Holiness, sometimes it's, I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything. We can't. You're so full of lies. You're full. You don't have enough. You don't have anything else for God to pour anything else inside of you. You're not going to feel his spirit. You're not going to feel his holiness. God, get it out. Empty me, God. Empty me out. Empty me. Empty me. And fill me back up with you. Remember a family I used to love to hear sing that in my hometown. It was a husband and wife duo. It was Mr. Bobby and Virginia Hatton. And he would be playing the piano and she would be, they both singing. And she's singing and they both could sing. And one of the things, they were like, search me, Lord. Search me, Lord. And I can see him. He used to shake his head as he would be playing on this piano. And they just be a thing, search me, Lord. And if you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out and then replenish me. Because I want to be right. I want to be whole. Hallelujah. I don't want to be fooling myself thinking, yep, I'm right. Yep, I'm going into the Holy of Holies now. Veils on the bottoms of their garments. Just to let me know, move every now and then, let me know you're still alive in there. Because if you haven't got yourself right before you go before the Holy of Holiness, you will die. You will die. You will die. Just like Dagon in the, with the ark. They sent their high priest in there. They took the ark to him after it was stolen. And he went in and they found him the next morning. He's just laid down, stretched out. He's supposed to be the thing, the highest one, but he is laid out before the ark. They get him up and set him back in his chair, and the next day they come in there, and they see something that they wasn't expecting to see. Not only is he laid out now that they considered it an altar, his head was cracked, is off. His wrist, arms had no wrist no longer. They were just still standing there. So when they picked that body up, they left the head and the hands there, they were gone. Hallelujah. The people tried to look directly into the ark and was dead. Because you can't just come to God any kind of way. He said, this is my holiness represented in here. And you think you can just look at me and live? He told Adam and Eve, the day that you look at me, you will die. He had to hide the disciple in the rock. Because he said, I'll show you my glory, but you can't see me, you would die. Why did Adam and Eve, when real quickly here, why did they not die? Why did they not die when they saw the Lord? The one day they was walking with the Lord, looking at him face to face, right? Looking at him face to face because they were without sin. But after they had sinned and they heard him coming, because remember, the day before they were just walking with him in the coolness of the day. Now, after sin, they hear him coming, and what do? They run and they hide themselves. They hide themselves. Why did they not die when the Lord approached them? I tell you why, and just for the sake of time, let's just say it. Because they couldn't look at him. They couldn't look upon him. The shame, the guilt, they didn't look at him. They were hiding. If they had looked at him because of his holiness, oh, I'm trying to get you to see this, they would have died. Yeah, they died a spiritual death right then, the moment they sinned. Yeah, let's get that out. That's right. But I'm talking about they would have had immediate death if they had looked upon his holiness with their sin. God is sinless. He has no sin. And we cannot, like I said, he told Moses, don't step over here. Over here, your sandals may be okay, but this is holy ground. Try stepping over here on the holy ground with your sandals, you shall die. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's get back here. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not bear false witness again about the lying. It's so much in us that we just can forget about it. We just think he don't see it. But I tell you, when you say his word and you haven't repented of those lies, of that jealousy, of that envy, of the wrongdoing you've done, but you're saying his name. Be careful. Be very, very careful. This means do not tell a lie. Do not tell stories that are untrue about people. You said, but they did me wrong, so I'm going to go tell this. No. When you tell a lie, you hurt yourself as well as others. That's why you got sickness in your body, because the lies is off in there still eating on you. You don't forget about the lie that you told, but it's still off in there working, going through like little canker worms, just eating up everything. Yeah. Some people would not trust what you say. They won't trust what you say. And you're already telling God, I don't trust you. I'm going to lie about this because I can't trust you to do this for me. I don't trust your time. I don't trust that you'll do it. Hallelujah. One more little quick story here. I don't know that, back when Samuel was sent out and he was looking for the king. And when he had went to Saul, the people wanted Saul. So he went to Saul and Saul was like, who? I am, you know what my daddy is? We're from nowhere. My daddy don't have anything. We're like one of the lowest people in our little village. We're from a very small village. You know, you can't be looking at me for king. It can't be me. He said, no, okay, this is what the people want. It's you. And so as it goes on and he goes on, he tells Saul, Samuel tells him, you stay right here. Do not light the incense. Don't go into the presence. You stay right here. In 7 days, I will return. You and your men stay right here. I will return in 7 days, and then I will light the incense. And we together will enter into this presence, and we'll go on and get our directives of what we need to know, right? Well, you know how people are. They got the grumbling. Oh, come on now, Saul. I'm getting tired. We've been here 2 days. We've been here 2 hours. And they grumbled, and many of them left. But get this. I can do this by myself. I go my own way. I was doing better before I was with you. I don't believe that you're a king anyway. You're going to be king. Look at you. Like you said, you were nobody, you know. No, I'm not listening to you. So by the seventh day, Saul had got so confused, for lack of better words, that he said, okay, we wake up. Oh, it's the seventh day. It's the seventh day. Look around. Do you see Samuel? I don't see Samuel. Samuel, the man of God, the judge here. Samuel said he would be back on the seventh day. I don't see him. Can you just hear all the little workers that are left there? You don't see him. Look, you stayed here for 7 days for nothing. He did not come back. He didn't keep his word. He lied. He lied. Saul, what are you going to do now? Saul says, forget it. Saul gets the incense. He lights them. He does all the rituals that he thinks he's supposed to be doing. And he raises his head. And there before him is Samuel coming to him. He runs to him with cheer and joy, as you may know the story. And Samuel says, what is this you have done? But I told you I would be back on the seventh day. I told you I would be back on the seventh day. That is us. We're so impatient. We don't trust that God's going to do it in his way. It's not happening quick enough. It's not, do you know what's going to happen if this doesn't happen right now? God said, I own the cattle on top of all the hills. I've got all of this. I'm just waiting on you to build your trust in me. And number 10, we spoke about also, do not convey. Convey means to want something that belongs to someone else. I want that person's wife. Someone walks up in church and says, God said, you're going to be my husband. Well, that's a lie because I'm already somebody else's husband. God is not going to give you somebody else's spouse. To all the sisters, I don't care how tight your dress is and how many splits you have. To all the brothers, I don't care how good you smell and how tall and broad you may be. God is not ready to give you somebody else's wife. God is not going to give you somebody else's position. Hallelujah. So don't convey a long for You're wanting it. You're just desiring. You're seeking it. You're ready to do almost anything to get it. Your person who conveys may be led to break all of the other commandments. You'll kill. You'll lie. If you convey, you're still. You'll commit adultery. You will dishonor your mother and your father because you're a conveyance. You would not remember the Sabbath, and you definitely won't keep it holy. Thou should not take the Lord's name in vain. It won't even be a second thought to you. You just do it because you're conveying something. You want it so bad. The enemy just puts that so deep inside of you. And where did it come from? Your own desires. Your own desires. The enemy didn't start playing this game with a lot of us. It's our own desires coming to fruition. Hallelujah. You start to make all kind of graven images. You walk in your house and there'll be all kind of gods up on your wall. White gods with long hair and blue eyes. Black gods with woolly hair. It'll be all kind of gods. And it just won't stop. It just won't stop. It'll continue to go on and on and on. My question as we close for tonight. And I thank you for that is in the chat room for hanging out with us. I appreciate you. God bless you. And if you are one of the ones that have left a prayer request, God bless you. I will be reaching back out and answering those. So Duck_Northwestern Media, I definitely will be reaching back out. And anyone else who has a prayer request, that has been left in the chat room. Amen, amen. And it's not too late if you like to go in the chat room. God bless. So as we continue here in our closing, I just wanted to read something to you that I know that with all of the things that are going on in the world, it sometimes seems like that Jesus is not coming back. He's not coming back. He's did his time, and he says, forget y'all. You're on his own. I'm going to rule from here now, but I'm not coming back. It's just that he loves us so much that he's slow to anger. The Lord is merciful. He's so gracious. We talked about his mercy and his grace. He's slow to anger, and he's abounding in mercies. He's abounding in mercies. It's not that he's not going to do what he said he was going to do. And as we spoke about, it's not that he's going to change his plans according to what the world wants his plans to change to. It's not. But he's coming back. And I just wanted to remind us of that. And then we'll do with our questions for tonight to carry with you as you go. Revelations 20 is where we're talking about basically coming from Revelations. You know, it says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Now, we've got to use our visionary mind. We've got to see these things. If not, it's just going to be words. You got to be able to see this. And then I saw a great white throne. How big is this greatness? Can it fill this earth? Everywhere we look, is it there? He's so great. He's so wide. How do we get around it? And I not just saw the white throne, but I saw him who was seated on it. And let me just say, just for the Holy Spirit is just saying, say this. When I say we saw the great white throne, I'm not saying that it's Caucasian white. I'm saying it as purity white. Amen? I'm saying that as purity, pure. Okay. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence. The earth, people looked at astronauts as they go into space and they turn around and they take photographs or stuff of earth. Or if you just saw a globe and you can look and imagine earth. Okay, earth, not just a nation or a country, but earth. It says, and then we talk about heaven, so we may can't get a visual of the heavens, but we have to We can figure out exactly. Let's just put heaven in our mind. That's where our Heavenly Father is at. Let's put that picture in our mind. And so we go, and it says that the earth and the heavens fled from his presence. So earth, the whole earth, heavens, the entire heaven, is trying to run away from this great white throne and the one who's seated upon it. Oh, wow. But then it says, it goes on to say that there was no place for them to run. Huh. There was no place for them to run. There was no place for them to hide. And that's the one said, I don't believe in your God. No, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in his mercifulness. I don't believe in his graciousness. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in a creator. I believe in science. You were a monkey. I was an ape. Let's just keep it going. We were all primates. Yeah? Well, it said that when just the sea, it didn't say the sun, but it said that when you see, we all are going to see this white throne, and we're going to see him seated upon it. It said the whole earth and heaven fled from his presence. And there was no place for them. And then I saw the dead, great and small. I don't care who they were, their titles. He said, and then I saw the dead. I have somebody in that group. Do you? Then I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. They're not running. They're not trying to hide. They're standing before the throne. He said, and I saw books were open. And then another book was open. And this is the book of life. And the dead that I saw standing before the throne, the dead were judged accordingly to what they had done. Not what they're doing right now or what they're getting ready to do, but what they had done, what they had done. The time is now. Get it right. The time is now. I saw the dead were judged accordingly to what they had done as recorded in the books, in the books, in the books. Now the sins that you have repented for, he has thrown them in the sea of forgetfulness and remember them no more. That's repented. Not that you said you're sorry, because you'll go back and do it again and you'll be sorry again and over again. We can talk about that another time. I've had those times in my life too. But finally, I had to say, hold on, husband, we need to repent. They're saying I'm sorry and get that, right? Okay. Let's keep on moving here. So it said, then it says that the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. Ooh. Wow. Wow. And then it said, and each person was judged accordingly to what they, again, what had done. Then death and Hades thrown into the lake of fire. Death. But you know, Jesus came and he took the sting out of death. So it has no power over us. Man only has to die one time. I don't care how tragic they may look like they died. Remember, the sting has been taken out of it. That's just what it looks like on this side. That's not what they thought. He took the sting out of death. Then death and Hades, Satan himself, was thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Mm. They have a second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Thrown into the lake of fire. I know preachers don't like to preach this. I know teachers don't like to teach this. But this is where we need to be. That day is upon us. We know not the day, the time, or the hour, but that this is where we need to be looking at. This is where we need to be doing our self-inventories of ourselves. Hallelujah. You know, in a pluralistic society as we live in, it's tempting to think that, you know, everyone should get to choose who or what they worship. And the important thing is to be faithful to the God that they've chosen, whatever God. Their God is a sun god, and at night he disappears, I guess, you know? their God is this God and whatever. So I know we got so many things going on. So we say it's a pluralistic world. It's tempting to think that everyone should get to choose who or what they worship, and it's important to them once they have chosen that. It's an important thing is that they worship and be faithful to whatever they've chosen. And while we do want to be respectful towards other religions and their followers, we want to respect and be respectful towards their religions and other followers, we also want to take opportunities to share the truth. To share the truth. The God of the Bible, the God who sent Christ as a sacrifice for our sins, is the only true God. He created everyone and everything. That means that all people are responsible to God, whether they recognize it or not. He has the right to judge all of us. And one day, he will judge us all. He will judge us all, whether we recognized him or we did not. So our closing words, do you acknowledge God as your creator? Have you put your trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin? What is it like to trust him? That means when you want to move, stand still. Every time you want to jump, sit down. Do you know anyone who needs to hear the good news of Christ's death and his resurrection? Why aren't you sharing it? You need literature to get you started? Don't let tomorrow be the day that you wake up and see that they're gone and you said, I didn't even get to tell them. I didn't get to share with them. You know, when we think about the importance of nations treating people well, those in democratic countries may focus only on voting. We're going to vote this in or vote that in. Well, however, there are other ways to encourage the proper treatment of people apart from passing legislation. How are people being mistreated in your community? What can you do in your community to encourage treating people with the honor and dignity that they deserve as human beings made in God's image? I'm not talking about in your state. I'm not even going to put it out that broad, that you jump out and try to make sure that everyone in your state. I'm not even going to say that even in your city. But I'm just asking in your community. How are people being mistreated in your community? Are people still not able to have fair housing because of the color of their skin? How are they being mistreated in your community? And what can you do in your community to encourage treating people with the honor and dignity that they deserve as human beings that is made in God's image? We're all made in his image. Some Christians may think of their faith as between them and God. That's between me and God. You know what? That is personal now. Now, Minister Vaughn, you're going too far. That's personable. I will confess my sins to him and him alone. I will pray to him and him alone. No, I'm not coming on your prayer line and praying. No, I'm not coming on your podcast and praying. No, when we're together, I want you to pray for me. I'm not getting ready to open my mouth and pray for you or pray for myself. No, that is personable between me and God. And that is the way that some Christians feel. We can forget that God cares about the whole world. The whole world. We just said that he created everyone. He created everything. That means that all people are responsible to God, whether they recognize it or not. And he has and he will judge all people. So we can forget that he cares about the whole world, all of his creation. Now the question is, what do you know about the challenges and opportunities about Christians that are in different hardship and losing their lives in different countries because they're just out and about trying to season the world with the word, which is the good news? Have you prayed for them? The Bible tells us as we put on our boots of peace, we need to pray for our sisters and brothers as they go out and about into the world trying to season the world with the word, with the good news, giving the good news. Pray for them. You said, I didn't even know there was nobody out there losing their lives. Well, I don't know how, but they are, okay? So now we should be praying for them. You're not out there going abroad doing it. You're not in your community even doing it. Can you pray for the ones that are? How could you learn more about what God is doing in other parts of the world? I got some biblical literature I can start with you. I can give you some information of different areas if you want a specific area to be praying for. Hallelujah. 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 God created everyone, and he's a fair referee, and he's going to be the judge. He's going to judge us according to what we have done. Isaiah 26 and 3, and we will close. It says, he will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him, because we trust in him. We don't trust in our paychecks. We don't trust in somebody else to give us the job. We'll trust in him. We don't trust in you introducing me to she and he and they as my spouse. I trust I can stand clear on the word, and I'm a female, so I'm only going to be introduced to males when I'm looking forward to a mate as a spouse. You as a male should only stand firm that you're only going to want to be introduced to females when you're looking for a spouse. And don't worry about all the corruption and confusion and stuff that may happen around you because of your decision. Stand strong in the Lord. Isaiah 26 and 3 said he would not have you out there worrying about it, stressing about it, hiding like the heaven and the earth is going to hide, trying to get away from he on the white throne that sits there. No, nowhere to hide. Remember, there's nowhere to run. He will keep you in perfect peace. Peace that people don't even understand. Why are you in peace when all this stuff has happened to you? He will keep you in perfect peace. If you just keep your mind stayed on him. Every time your mind try to wander, you got to have a song or something or a scripture down off in your heart that you can rely on and bring it back out. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Yes, he is. Yours may say, thank you, Jesus, for just waking me up this morning. You may only can say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. My Jesus, Jesus, whatever. I remember he said if we trust him, he'll give us this perfect peace. We'll keep our mind on him. He'll give us this perfect peace. The old people used to say, if you can't say nothing else, when you learn to pray, you go in your prayer and all you say is Jesus. You may spend your whole 10 minutes in your prayer closet and all you say was Jesus, 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 Jesus. They said, you're at the right place. He receives that. He can use that. You will grow on that. You may grow from there and start just saying the Lord's Prayer. The Lord is my shepherd. The 23rd Psalm, I shall not want. Or the Lord's Prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name on earth. If your name becomes popular on earth, if I can lift your name up here on earth the way it's lifted in heaven, I can now call down some of the things that, hallelujah, that I should be receiving, and it shall be released unto me. But you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. Hallelujah. But this has been the word of God. The word of God. Through the voice of God. Through the voice of On. And we're going to close for tonight. We have another broadcast coming up later on tonight. So God bless you and may he keep you close to him. And know that of all the things that you may desire, what do you want? We got to be honest with ourselves. Do I want something? What do I want from the Lord? You got to want God. All right. Chat room, I'll talk to you later. Everyone else? God bless you and keep you until the next time. Thank you for being with us. We love you. Good night.
godliness. I want God. All I ever wanted was God. And I don't want to give him second best. I want God. All I ever wanted was God. Yeah.
I want God.
All I ever wanted was God.
I don't want to give him
second best. Don't want to give him my second best. I want God. See, I want to live like treat everybody right. And I want to look like him, precious in his sight. Help me to love, forgive, and be what he called me to be.
All I ever wanted.
I want to live like him. Treat everybody right. I want to look like him.
Yeah.
what I want him. I want God. Have a good night. I'm Minister Von Dimas, 20 San Antonio. Saying good night.